Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and pleased to have somebody that I've traveled around Arkansas with, Alan Engstrom, today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rex.
Southern Fried, yeah.
I'm so happy to be here.
You think with a name like Southern Fried, I'd have something for you to eat, but I don't. But we do have good conversation going on. You do finance accounting work for businesses all over. You have a corporate background before that with Intel, and suddenly you got into like commercial real estate. How did that happen, first off? And then I'm going to talk about where, but how did that transformation begin to happen?
Well, it seems like it was suddenly, but in my mind, it started a while ago. I founded my business in Argenta in 2004, so we've actually been down there for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but you've had two decades in the neighborhood.
And it's been so interesting. That's really the number one thing, is the transformation of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I've witnessed over the last 20 years.
Yep.
And, you know, looking at where it was.
Let's go back, and not to interrupt you, but you know, there wasn't anything going on there. I mean, the arena had been built, but it was a little, quite a few blocks from where you were. Dickie Stevens had not yet been built 20 years ago. I mean, why did you choose this place for your office in the first place?
Well, the main reason was my father's CPA firm was down there.
Okay, so okay, that makes sense.
But that was only supposed to be temporary. It seemed like when I moved back to Arkansas, it seemed like the thing to do would be to locate in West Little Rock,
mm-hmm.
right? It just seemed like mm-hmm. where
it would have that at that time, yeah.
So we spun out of my dad's CPA firm, and so we were just starting out. And so it was supposed to be temporary down in Argenta. And certainly back then, it was not at all obvious that that was a good place to be, period, much less locate your new business. But I started seeing some things that were interesting. And it's a good story for economic development. It's a good story for how to transform a place that is not desirable into a place that is very desirable. And I've fallen in love with not only the place, but also the process. And it's a story about how government and private investors and community can all work together
mm-hmm.
and really make a difference. And that's really probably what it was, just a few things that were happening back then that was enough to make me stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then along the way, I started seeing the pieces fall into place. And now looking back, it seems like it was just luck or something. But of course, the real story is it's not luck at all. It's a lot of hard work and strategy and choices, prioritization, coordination. There's a lot that went into it. Back then, I wish that they had, at one point they showed me statistics, the number of 911 calls down in Argenta was mm-hmm. just sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of several years, the 911 calls plummeted to near zero.
Yeah,
is an example.
Yeah,
and I think over the year we did a master plan, right? And it's not something to do a plan. It's something you did the plan, and then we stuck to it,
mm-hmm.
right? So, what are the right mix of businesses? And you got to say no to a lot of things, and we did. And we all got together and agreed to tax ourselves with a business improvement district. And that's never easy, right?
Yeah,
people don't just line up and say, please tax me.
Exactly.
Right? And so that took a lot of commitment on the property owners, including myself. But we saw what was happening. We saw what was we knew we had transparency into the dollars, and we knew that they were all being put to good use down there. And the strategy was clear, and it was simple, Rex.
Mm-hmm.
It was three words: clean, green, and safe, period.
Yeah.
And what it really did was it created all of the conditions for economic development to happen. And if you think about it, clean, green, safe is brilliant.
It really is. I've got two of your three on a story that I've told actually on this podcast before, and that was your neighbor, before we sold recently, I was vice president of the board of the Arkansas Travelers.
That's right.
And I remember coming out of COVID after we missed that entire season. We came back and I said, in a post-COVID world, I said, I'm a columnist and I sum up things And I know I take complicated things and simplify them. That's what you have to do. I've only got so much space. But I said, I can put the key to our success in three words. And it was safe, clean, and fun.
There you go.
For the travelers. Yeah. And right along those same lines. Yeah. I mean, and that really boils down your mission statement there.
That's right.
You know, we keep it safe, clean, and fun. And we've been thriving ever since the pandemic.
That's right. The analogy I use sometimes is you can't make a flower bloom. You can plant the soil, you can plant the seed, you can water it, you can provide the oxygen and the sun, but you can't make a flower bloom. You can do all the other things, and the flower will bloom. That's what happened in Argenta.
Yeah, and I find it real interesting how you said that sometimes you've got to say no, because I've seen so many places that are just so hungry for any kind of, you know, just fill this empty building, and then you end up with a critical mass of pawn shops or whatever. Or I think back to the example a few years ago when the Park Service first started leasing out the bathhouses in Hot Springs, you might remember, and Ripley's, believe it or not, wanted to put one of those crazy Ripley's museum, and the Park Service said, no, we don't want to be Branson.
That's good, yeah.
Basically, Hot Springs is different, and Absolutely. Now we've got brew pubs and boutique hotels and things like that in those bathhouses.
That's right. You've got locally owned restaurants, for example, bars and restaurants, as opposed to fast food concepts. You've got the right mix of businesses. And we had to work hard to, at first, the focus was bringing people down there. And so the focus was events to draw people in. And then the focus shifted to people living down there. So then the focus shifted to housing. And we had nonprofits that were working on rehabbing houses. We had economic development people that are focused on that. And so it's been about saying no to the right things, but also being mindful of the mix so that you're creating a thriving community, a place. And for me, the real estate really turned on during the pandemic. I think we all had kind of, let's just say, lots of time to reflect, you know, lots of introspection. And for some reason, I got into
like, We all did.
Right? What does it mean to be happy and healthy? And so I started reading a lot about that. And you see these lists. And over again, when you study, they call them blue zones around the world where people live unusually long and happy lives. I was interested in that. Community is always on the top 10 list. Community and having social bonds. And, frankly, I was stuck out in a neighborhood out in West Little Rock, and the feeling of isolation was real, right? And I just really got turned on to the concept of community. And for my business, we're a bunch of accountants. We all went home like everybody else, but we learned during and after the pandemic that we don't really need to come into the office if we're being perfectly honest with ourselves, and the flexibility that people have nowadays is a good thing. Before the pandemic, you certainly could do a Zoom call, but 90% of the time you wouldn't do it because somebody couldn't make it work for whatever reason.
Right.
But everybody can do a Zoom call now. And so it's so flexible to be able to jump on a Zoom call or meet in person. I can do business anywhere, literally anywhere, within minutes. I can either pull up my phone or my laptop, and I'm fully ready to work. And so where you physically sit, in some sense, doesn't matter. And that really opened up my office. I have over 10,000 square feet in my office in Argenta, and it was a ghost town, right?
Yeah.
So that was one thing. I needed to do something with that. But also that focus on community and the simple mantra, clean, green, safe, but also the idea of live, work, play. And why do you have to get in a car and commute 30 minutes and go into a big office tower and then do it all in reverse at the end of the day? You don't have to do that anymore. And so why can't we create places where you can live, work, and play and have community, right? And so that's what really turned me on to the idea of real estate development. I knew Argenta was booming. I think the one metric I think we need to measure is the total amount of economic development that's gone into Argenta. It has to be more than $250 million.
Oh, it's huge. If you look even now, at the explosion of really high dollar, you know, apartment complexes that are going up along the river. You're about to get a really upscale hotel, Tempo brand, be the first one in the state downtown. So, that number easily goes above that, I think, at this point.
And it goes back to what I said before. You can't make that happen. You can create the conditions.
Yeah.
And then let the private sector do its magic.
Yeah.
It's a blend of both. You create the right conditions and the investors will come, and they have to be comfortable that, you know, they're taking a risk. So they have to be comfortable that they're going to get a return on their investment. And when you spend any time in Argento, it's pretty easy to get the vibe that it's a great place to be, whether you're living down there, working, or playing down there.
It really does. Let's talk about a couple of your projects. First of all, and I always find this interesting, you've taken on a former Presbyterian church, among other things.
Well, that's the latest, but it's altogether, it's a collection of a block and a half, actually.
Gotcha, whole block and a half.
In Argento, yeah. And it started off with my office, which is across the street from Flyway Brewing at 51 Maple Street. I also acquired, over time, an office building that's immediately next door to that. But right behind my office is a beautiful plantation, 1800s era house called the E.O. Maniz House.
Right. I was going to get to that, but I'll let you handle them all at once. 1895, I believe. Yes. I did a little research yesterday.
And that's kind of a funny story. Yeah. Back when we needed offices right before the pandemic,
I built out a lot of
offices in the back of my office building, and I needed more parking. And the city owned the Maniz House, and I worked with the mayor, and he was great. I just wanted a piece of land behind the house. And long story short, you can't divide up that property because it's historic. And so after 3 months of trying, we reached a dead end. And out of a fit of frustration, I just told the mayor, like, well, why don't you let me buy the whole bleeping thing? I thought he was going to hang up on me. But instead, he said, okay, tell you what, let's get it appraised and we'll agree on whatever it appraised for. And I said, okay. So I became the owner of a 1800s era historic house. And so the question became, what do we do with that house?
We
got the parking we needed, but what do you do with the house? And so after several years, we finally settled on a plan of remodeling it and doing events downstairs. And we have four office suites upstairs. But it's become a great place for people to come and have life events, weddings, engagement parties, showers, birthdays, other types of events. But for us, it's been an amazing time to watch people come and gather and have fun. And I've always enjoyed that. I'd forgotten how much I enjoy watching people
get
together
and
have fun. And I think, again, from the pandemic, we all kind of crave that a little bit. But that's been really rewarding. And so it's sort of just continued from there. One day I noticed that there was a for sale sign on the church across the street, and I'd always kind of had my eye on the church. It was not well utilized as far as I could tell. And long story short, the Presbyterian Church decided they were going to sell it finally. And so I was interested in it. And for us, the tie-in is it has a beautiful chapel. It's a total of 15,000 square feet. It has two huge halls and an education building in back. One of the two halls is a really, really good, nice chapel. And so the tie-in for us was obvious. It's right across the street from the Maniz House. Mm-hmm. And so you could do some really interesting event-type things there, namely a wedding.
Weddings,
you could have a world-class chapel setting for, you know, your ceremony, and then just literally walk across the street to this beautiful plantation-style house for your reception.
For the reception, yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of an obvious tie-in, but the challenge was what to do with the rest of the square footage, and there's another half acre that's literally a field next to that. So back to the live, work, play mantra, what we want to do is we want to build townhouses in the field across the street from the Maniz House. We want to make the chapel an event space, and then the other hall would be an amazing space for a restaurant. So we're actively looking for a restaurateur to come in and do something really amazing. The space is incredible.
You know me, I'm all about food. I love the thought of a restaurant being there.
Yeah. I know you love historic buildings as well.
Absolutely.
The inspiration for me is the preacher's son up in Bentonville. And this has the opportunity to be something pretty amazing like that.
Yeah.
A properly restored kind of church theme restaurant, I think, would be a great addition to Argenta.
Oh, I agree completely. That is all very exciting. And you are one of many. You talked about, you know, sometimes you just get out of the way and let people do their thing. And I'm going to throw out a few examples. I'm going to leave out, I know, people I shouldn't be leaving out. But I think back, you know, again, Simmons Bank Arena celebrating its 25th anniversary right now. And who could have dreamed that your first director, Michael Marion, would still be there? I'm a big Michael Marion fan. He's got some of the best music connections in America, and because of that, North Little Rock consistently gets a lot of shows that metropolitan areas this size don't usually get. And it comes back to, again, a person and personal connections.
Absolutely.
And it has benefited the whole region.
He's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
I think we take it for granted the level of talent that he brings to Little Rock.
Another example of people, you know, who have invested years there, like you now have, my longtime friends, I'll admit their friends, Jim Jackson and Lisa Farrell. I mean, they took the old Vestal Nursery over there. They had a vision, and by golly, they're achieving that vision.
Absolutely.
After all these
what a great
years
example.
At Rockwater.
I know Jim and Lisa really well. I know it took a long time. And
it did. And people gave up on them and laughed at them.
Lots of pain and suffering, but they did it, and they just kept at it. And I don't know if they would have said at the beginning, like, hey, we're real estate developers. You know, I think they're both attorneys, right? And
yeah, so they are. They are
like
both
me,
attorneys,
it's like
yeah.
We're figuring it out, you know, with
as
the help
we go,
of
yeah.
good architects, attorneys, and contractors. But, you know, it's something that you figure out. And if you're committed to it and you see the vision, then it can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I could give more examples. I mentioned the recent sale of the Travelers. This company owns over 30 minor league teams now, and they love this market. They love this ballpark. I mean, you're aware of the issues on the sinkholes and the funding, and hopefully we will work through this. But you know, I'm out there a lot. I've got my Traveler shirt on today as we tape this, and I was sitting out there Sunday afternoon, and again, it always strikes me as I look at the Broadway Bridge. Thank you, Buddy Valines, for making that look really nice.
Absolutely.
And I look at the Little Rock skyline, which is a great skyline for a city this size, and I think, you know, there are not many backdrops better than this for a professional baseball park anywhere in America.
So true. And there's so many other amenities. The Simmons Arena and the ballpark are just two. You know, the other day I got on my bike and I headed north on the north side of the river on a world-class bike path.
Arkansas River
walking
Trail.
Path,
yeah, yeah.
River Trail. And within 5 minutes, you can be in amazing wilderness setting. Mm-hmm. You know, there's views of the river with the background of the skyscrapers and, you know, back there, and you can see all kinds of wildlife, and then you pretty soon you're at Burns Park, and then a few minutes later you're crossing the Big Dam Bridge, and you could continue on all the way out to Pinnacle Mountain if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how you can be right in the middle of downtown and the experiences you can have.
Exactly. And then we have seen, of course, especially along Main Street there, through the years, because there are going to be starts and stops, you know, some restaurants will fail, but now we've got some, you know, I think like Capello that have been there for years now and succeeded, but it seems like a really good mix that we've got down there now of restaurants, bars, and entertainment venues.
Absolutely. You know, locally owned restaurants and bars, I know you're a huge believer in that.
Absolutely.
There's something about being able to just walk down the street and walk into a bar or restaurant and people know
you. Everybody knows your name, right?
Yeah, literally. No, it's, yeah. And you know, the community is involved, and you just walk into a Capello or Blackberry Market, and you know, people are like, hey, you know, three or four people, hey, Alan, how you doing? You know, and you know each other, you know, to be able to walk to five or six different places like that and not even have to get in your car.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Absolutely. And to, you know, what was the Argenta Community Theater is now the Argenta Contemporary Theater. They have really upped their game in the last couple of years. And I think to myself, you know, because people, and I nothing against West Little Rock, I do live there. You were talking about your house out there. But, you know, I get so frustrated, people, I'm not going downtown and all. And I think of examples like this. I mean, you take what they're doing on that side of the river, you take the Arkansas Rep on the Little Rock side of the river, which is a true jewel. I mean, how many, again, metro areas this size have, you know, multiple really good live theaters?
Absolutely. And you have the Joint Comedy Theater, which is fun.
Exactly.
But the Argenta Contemporary Theater is doing amazing things.
Yeah.
I mean, you go down there on a Friday, Saturday night, there's so many people on the streets. The energy is palpable, you know, and they have so many great programs for kids. People are coming from all around to participate in these programs and to watch these shows. It's incredible what they're doing.
Yeah, and then, of course, I know you've been there 20 years bringing people to work downtown, but then you have a development like First Orion, which suddenly adds really high-tech jobs to the mix, and those people can live in the area, and even if they don't live there, they can walk to dinner or whatever. That's been a great addition.
Great example. They could have gone anywhere.
They really could have.
And they chose Argenta, and they built a building straight out of the ground to be down there.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows how much they spent.
Yeah.
Huge investment.
Now, we tape this in downtown Little Rock here at the Democrat Gazette building, just across the bridge from everything we're talking about. Little Rock, as you know, has recently come up with a major master plan for downtown, the first one ever. And I'm one of those people, and I sense that you are too. I don't think so much of two cities. I think of this more as one big downtown. I think Argenta has to do well for downtown Little Rock to do well, and downtown Little Rock has to do well for Argenta.
Absolutely.
To do well.
I kind of tell people tongue in cheek, we can't afford to be rivals.
Exactly.
And even if you have no stake in either downtowns, you have to understand that without a viable downtown, you don't have a backbone for your entire regional economy. It's whatever analogy you want to use. It's your foundation. It's your backbone. And so everybody needs to realize that we need to have a thriving downtown, regardless of what side of the river you're on. And you're right. Both sides work together, and it's a great experience. I live across the river at the 303rd Tower over Copper Grove.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a big fan of both downtowns.
Yeah.
And I see the issues. And I understand the perceptions, but we feel safe. It's just like any other urban environment. You just have to be aware. But the experiences you can have are unmatched.
Yeah.
You know, just to be able to walk out your door and go to five or six different restaurants and have a drink or an appetizer or whatever, it's a great, you don't have to get in your car. You just walk around. You know, we went to the Wednesday spins at the at the Art Center.
Oh yeah,
that's an amazing thing.
Oh, another amazing development for downtown.
We're walking around like, wow, there's a
good restaurant in there too. I don't know if you've eaten in the Art Center yet, but it's very good. Yeah,
it's just incredible the experiences you can have downtown.
Yeah, I tell people this, and you've got to get past images, but the crime rate even downtown Little Rock is very low compared to some of the neighborhoods in the city. I will finish this taping. I'm actually walking to Copper Grill to meet somebody for an early lunch after we do this taping. But I could walk the other way, I tell people. And again, critical mass is a good thing. And on one block of Main Street, as you well know, over here, there are now 7 restaurants operating where a little more than a decade ago it was absolutely desolate.
That's right. Block. That's a great story.
That's a great example of what you can do with critical mass.
And I know a lot of these restaurant owners, and I applaud them because they're risk takers.
Oh, yeah.
They're entrepreneurs, and they need our support. And I know you do so much to encourage that, but they need, you know, it takes everybody rowing together, the community, government. We have to make it a great place where people want to come, and they will come.
Yeah. I know the challenges, and I know what we face, and, you know, I've worked in government for 14 years. I know how hard it is to do grants. I've worked in the corporate sector. I'm not just blindly saying, boy, all is well. I know the challenges, but overall, when I take downtown North Little Rock and downtown Little Rock as a whole and look at what is going on and what's on the drawing board, I find myself pretty bullish overall. I have a sense
of optimism. We definitely have our challenges, but the master plan that they just completed on the Little Rock side, I think, is a really, really good plan, mm-hmm. and it deserves everyone's support, in my opinion. I know that there's always ways to quibble with things, but it's going to take a commitment, just like they did in Argenta 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's going to take a concerted commitment. It's going to take real investment. It's going to take sacrifices and coordination of a lot of different groups. But the potential is amazing.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing I feel when I walk around Little Rock is the potential. You know, we're about to finish the construction of the interstate crossing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a huge amount of land that just opened up as a result of that.
Absolutely. It's just I've gone down there and walked in that grass, and it's an urban feel like you don't really get anywhere else in Arkansas.
It's like a mini Central Park.
It is, with the buildings around you. Yeah.
Riverfront Park is a gem that we sort of stumbled on. It's an amazing place down there.
Mm-hmm.
We like to go walk our dog down there. There's incredible art down there. So there's just a lot of opportunity to really focus on the riverfront as an asset. I think that's underutilized today.
Agreed.
And you can see it when
Agreed.
You just walk around.
Yep. Yep.
So that's the number one feeling I have is opportunity.
Mm-hmm. There is great opportunity. And again, I want to stress there are some things on the drawing board. They're not going to happen overnight, but they're going to happen that are really exciting. And I think of things like and what they're now calling East Village on the other side of Interstate 30, the Wingate Arts Campus, which is going to bring dozens of artists in live work studios. And there's no way when you get that many artists together that you're not going to have more restaurants, more entertainment
Absolutely.
Venues to follow down there.
I love artists. They're, if you look at like how neighborhoods are turned around, it's usually the creatives,
mm-hmm. it is.
You know, that kind of seed it, you know, that kind of go in there are kind of the pioneers.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you've got, again, it's not going to happen overnight, but there's going to be a major expansion of the Clinton Presidential Museum. When Hillary Clinton did not win the presidency, she doesn't get her own presidential museum now. But the fact is, regardless of where you are politically, she's one of the most famous women in world history.
Yeah.
And to add a wing that kind of focuses on her and her life is really almost like having a second presidential museum downtown.
Which is, again, it's another amazing asset.
Yeah, and I'm told that could be up to a $200 million project.
Incredible.
So not a small project.
And you know something's going to happen with the Heffer building.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Amazing, too good of a location, too good a facility.
And then I know they're working on the revamp of the river market
right.
pavilion.
Right, that is going forward, thank goodness.
That's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to be excited about.
There really is a lot going on. So you let's say you get your restaurant in the church here. You fill out your other property you've built. What are you thinking? What's on the horizon for you in the next 5 years?
Oh, boy, that's it. If we can fulfill that vision, then I would be a very happy man. And it's going to take a lot of help. You know, we've got great folks around us, but we need people with ideas. We need entrepreneurs, people that are interested in living, you know, living the talk. When mm-hmm. we say community, I'm telling you, if you're interested in community, I found the place. And we have three lots for sale. I'm going to buy one of them from myself.
Gotcha.
We're going to build some amazing townhouses. But our existing offices, we're converting into co-working space. It's called Argenta Office Works, strategically located across the street from Flyway Brewing.
Very strategic.
But it's again community where you can come. You know, maybe you're working from home and you need to get out of the house for a couple of days a week. It's
mm-hmm.
a great place to come and see some other adults and hang out with other business folks and get some work done along the way. A great place to meet people. So again, we're really focusing on creating a great community, a great place for people to live, work, and play. That's really the vision.
Yeah, and I think before we wrap up, I think you have hit on something there. Even if you don't live in downtown North Little Rock or Little Rock, I'm sensing you talked about the pandemic and being home. When I came back to the paper 7 years ago, full time, they would have been fine. I can write a column, like you said, from anywhere if I had worked from home, but I miss that energy of downtown.
Yeah.
And even when the pandemic started, I totally wrote from home the first couple of months. And I told my wife, I said, look, I just, for one thing, I had two sons in law school at the time, and we were eating up all our bandwidth. You can do that at a house real quickly because they were both on video and I was trying to write. And we weren't made for three offices in our house. So I said, I'm going to come downtown. I'll be safe with the mask, but at least 2 days a week. Because I find that you miss that interaction, and I can't imagine only working from my house in far west Little Rock.
Yeah,
I need to come downtown every day.
Well, you're astute. People, yeah. Everybody needs community.
Yeah,
loneliness is an epidemic right now,
mm-hmm.
and I get it. I like my alone time too, but when it's time to have community, we all need that as part of our health.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Alan, we're out of time. I knew it would go fast. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And
I really enjoyed
what you're doing in Argenta.
I appreciate
it. It's really exciting what you have going on right now.
Thank you. It's been a real team effort, and I assure you I would not be doing this if it wasn't a right thing with all the right conditions in place. And so it's been a good team effort.
Thank you. Alan Engstrom, our guest, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.